Hi, this is a Life of Learning podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, Sook.
Hey, Reggie.
Welcome back. Right, now we started this So You Think You Know Bollywood series probably about a year ago. We watched the first film, which was...
Dungle,
which I really, really enjoyed. And you mentioned this film. Let me see if I can get the name right. Bahubali?
Yep.
Right, cool. You told me this about probably a year ago, and it's probably taken me a year to get around to watching it. So, thanks letting me know about this film. So, if you can give us a quick synopsis of the film.
Okay, so Bahubali is in two parts, one and two. And it's basically a film by the Telugu film industry, which is really kind of, they're known for their special effects. And they generally, I think they do work a lot with Hollywood films and the special effects. They do a ton of stuff there. I think this was like one of their first major, major films that they did themselves. And the story of Bahubali is, it's very synonymous with a lot of fantasy and Indian mythology, even though it's not a story from Indian mythology. It's basically, it starts off quite brilliantly with a woman carrying a baby with an arrow in her back. And then she's being chased by these two guys, and she ends up protecting the baby. She doesn't survive, but the baby survives. And the baby then grows up, but the baby's always fascinated with the outside world, what's beyond that giant waterfall. And basically the main character, I think his name is Shivu, but then you find out later it's Bahubali. He finds a wooden mask of a woman, and he falls in love with this wooden mask, and he fantasizes what this woman is about, which kind of edges him to get right to the top of the waterfall and go look for that woman. And then the story takes off from there. And then obviously there's a lot of backstory going on, which is setting up the next film in this one. So it's basically, it's, how can I explain this? It's a story about, it sets up a mystery with a young man who goes out in search for love, but finds his destiny, if that can accurately put it down. I think it's well worth watching. Fantasy is a genre that's not massive in India, but I think they've done really well with this film. And the story of this film is, the making of this film is quite brilliant as well. We'll get into that in a short while. But what did you think of the film?
I'll tell you what. Well, first of all, why did you put this on the list first?
Okay, well, our initial discussion was about the different film industries. Mm-hmm. This film was massive when it came out, and it's the first I've known of the Telugu film industry, and I think it was a good representation. Mm-hmm. I have heard there's, on Netflix, I think there's two other films from the Telugu film industry that I know of. RRR, if you've watched that one, made by the same guy who made Bahubali, SS Rung... I'm trying to remember his name. I did have it written down. Give me a second. SS Rajmouli. And he also made a film, which in his language is called Ega, but in Hindi is Makki, about a guy who dies and gets reincarnated as a fly. Mm-hmm. And he has to solve his own murder or something, which I haven't watched, but it sounds so much fun.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So this is like a... So this would be called a Tollywood movie.
Tollywood is South Indian. This is Telugu. So like a Tamil. Tamil is Tollywood. This is a different language called Telugu, and it's their film industry.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't have a Tollywood name then, or Bollywood name?
No, it doesn't.
Name.
It's not Bollywood. Okay. It's not Tollywood. It's called the Telugu film industry.
Okay, cool. Okay. All right then. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I was absolutely amazed by this film. It was... I mean, I've got so many words to describe it, and I'll try and think of these words as we go along and talk about the film. I mean, I think it's a must-watch film. I thought the storyline, I love the non-linear storyline, where you start off in the present and then you go back into the past, and then you sort of like briefly come back into the present at the end.
Yeah.
I love these types of non-linear storytelling, the timelines. I love those because, yeah, you know, the normal storytelling, the beginning, the end, you know, the sort of middle bit, the beginning, the end. Yeah. I love this way of storytelling. So that was the bit that I was really surprised at, and it took me onto a different direction.
Yeah.
So the way you described the synopsis is perfect, and that's essentially what it's about. Yeah, essentially. But there's so much more to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very deep. There's so many layers. So I don't know where you want to go with it now.
Okay. I'd like to mention that this film is the most expensive film made in India for its time.
Mm-hmm.
I did have the numbers around, but I wrote my notes ages ago when we first started the project, and I missed them. But it took 5 years to make this film, which is on a production value. It's massive. Not only that, they wanted it made in Bollywood, but mm-hmm. no one gave them the green light in Bollywood, so they decided to make it themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but the thing is, these guys, they made this film, and it kind of, okay, here's how it kind of works with, let's talk about Dangal, because I think that's the highest grossing Indian film.
Right.
And basically, when Bollywood makes a film, you'll have the actor, Amir Khan, mm-hmm. who starred in Dangal, and the distribution studio, I think, is owned by him and his wife that distributed mm-hmm. it. So what Bahubali did different was they had many distributors, just like mm-hmm. Hollywood, yeah? Mm-hmm. And that made them have a huger audience. So these guys kind of came together and said, look, I don't care if we don't make any money on this. I want as many people to see this film as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole thing. And it ended up grossing, I mean, the international success was just massive. Mm-hmm. In America, it was massive. In Britain, it was massive, you know? All around. Yeah, generally this film, I think, is an amazing film. Yeah. But not only that, because this is like the first film that uses major special effects as well. Probably tell. Like everything was, even the waterfall, that huge waterfall at the start of the film, that was created by CGI, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, the animals were created by CGI. Mm-hmm. The palaces were created by CGI. The amount of stuff that the work... man hours that must have been put in, you know. So the look of it is very different. Also, RRR, there's loads of special effects in that film. So this is kind of, I think this is what the whole of India now looks towards the Telugu film industry for special effects.
Yeah.
Because it's spectacle. And it's something that, you know, I think will slowly maybe creep into the other film industries in India, but it's there already.
No, for sure. And like you said, if it, you know, if you said it took 5 years, I mean, it's just the creativity of some of the scenes, you know. Even if you just break down one scene and you look at it and you think, God, I wonder how long it took them just to do this, I don't know, 1 minute sequence, you know. And there's just so much into it, you know. You'd think, okay, well, how can we make this is awesome, but how can we make it even more awesome? And this is what it felt like when I watched the film, because they would have said, right, this is good, but we can make this better.
I think there was a lot of young passion in this film. You can tell it, you can feel it, like when young filmmakers get excited about something, they really put themselves into it. But the other thing is, I shouldn't mention about the special effects. Hollywood has a lot of special effects, and sometimes it's accused of, you know, overdoing the special effects to the detriment of the story. I felt in this film, the special effects pushed the story through more. It like, obviously they didn't compromise. It was everything was kind of story based.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. The special effects made the movie, and obviously the storyline made the movie. Because let's face it, any revenge story is going to be something that everyone wants to watch, because it's an event revenge story, isn't it? Essentially.
Yeah, I disagree. I don't think it's a revenge story.
Okay, all right.
Okay, because a lot of this film is actually based on stuff you learn in Hindu mythology and the whole stuff of it. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. he didn't know he was going for revenge, not in the first one.
Oh, no. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Right. And then the second one, I felt like it was more of a resurrection story.
Yeah.
Like he's not just the son of Mohinder Bahubali, he's like the reincarnation of Mohinder Bahubali. So this is a story about justice.
Yeah.
Because obviously revenge, you're kind of pushed by the revenge narrative. Yeah. This guy is only kind of learning this was his father. These are his people. You know, he needs to do something for them.
Yeah. And that was obviously, you know, sort of like right at the end that he found out that he was Prince? Yeah, essentially a prince, yeah. Okay, just coming back to the CGI, one thing I did notice was when they had animal scenes and they were, I don't know, they were under distress or they were getting killed or they were getting shoved around, you had the little symbol on the left-hand side saying CGI, which I found really, really interesting. I don't know if you noticed that.
Okay, because that wasn't in the version I've seen. There was little thing on the side.
Oh, okay, yeah, got it. Yeah, because the version I saw the Hindi version on Netflix.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Because
I originally watched it on DVD when it first.
Ah, right, out, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So on Netflix, they've got where they have. Not all animal scenes, but when they had animal scene where the animal was being, I don't know, killed or mutilated or whatever, they would have CGI. And obviously, there was a big warning at the beginning saying all the animals were CGI and no animal was.
Of course. The other thing with the CGI is it's not hyper realistic CGI.
No, I don't think
you needed to really put that in. But I think nearly everything was CGI.
I don't know. Maybe if they felt that they just wanted to make sure that it was CGI, they just put it out there so no animal rights people could come on them and say, look, how can you do that? So,
I think with India, they care about animal rights anyway.
Years
ago, they had this whole drive about saving the tigers, stuff like that.
I think it's not many people might know that. So if they put it down at the beginning, then, you know, there's no one going to come down and say to them that, you know, animal rights and stuff like that. So, so I thought that was good. But no, the whole film. Now, I've heard from other people that that have said they've seen this film is that they said it's almost like a sort of like a Marvel movie. Now, I've not seen any Marvel movies, to be honest. And I don't know if you, are you a Marvel fan? So I don't know whether.
I've watched the Marvel movies. Very few of them, I think, are really good films. I think certain ones I love, certain ones I'm like, you know, what was the point, you know?
Yeah. But they were saying it's like watching one of those. And I don't know whether that was true or not. So I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
See, here's what I say about Bahubali. Bahubali is more about driving a story.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of wonderful little deeper moments. Like the fact that he's a young guy and he falls in love with a mask. So it's basically out for the appearance of a woman. And in this film, you see when he finally finds a woman, she's nothing like what he fantasizes about.
Yeah, sure.
In fact, she's a bit psycho.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they're kind of showing, like, when you're young, you care about the image. But as you mature, you care about so many other things about your partner, stuff like that. I love little things like that. Whereas Marvel, some of them are fantastic, deep film. But some of them are just spectacle and nothing else.
Yeah.
I think this is the one thing that differs action-wise. Yeah, you could say there's lots of action in this.
Yeah, I think for me, from an emotional level, it made me sad. It made me happy. I went, yes, you know, I went through all the emotions with this film. I even laughed at some of the scenes. The scene where the makeover scene where they're kind of fighting, but he sort of like transforms her from a warrior woman into a into a sort of like a goddess princess type thing.
Do you know what, that's one of the peeves I have with this film. I believe, obviously, when he finds Avantika, he kind of almost tries turning her into
her.
And there's no like respect for what she wants.
Sure.
Like, he tatters her body, he basically strips her, you know, and stuff like that. So I'm thinking that's, you know, that's one of the things that I possibly would be one of the criticism of his relationships with Avantika, where he doesn't really care, you know, what she's like or what she fights for.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he takes on her fight afterwards, but at that point, I'm thinking this is kind of almost cringy.
Yeah,
if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking about more of the sequence of just how it all happened. You know, just in terms of how creative that element was.
That's the bit that it was well done, but
what
does it really stand for?
No, I get that. But just in terms of creativity, there's just so many elements of the film like that where they take a part of the story and they just add so many layers to it. It was just incredible. You take your eyes off it because every scene meant something.
Every scene meant something. Even that whole thing with the waterfall when he fantasizes she's kind of a goddess floating around. Yeah. That's what kind of edges him on at the end to finally overcome the hurdle
and get
to the real world.
Yeah.
So it was a great way of showing his motivation, what was, you know, in his mind kind of thing, and, you know, what was driving him. So it's like it's showing you rather than telling you.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Big thing in film, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Show, don't tell.
Yeah, no, that's right. And like you say, the motivation, he finally had the motivation of this image of someone that he really wanted to see. And he managed to get over across the waterfall, despite sort of like failing whatever it was 1,000 times.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's like never underestimate a young guy's horniness.
So he managed to get to the other side. And I love the contrast as well, because even though, you know, he thought, you know, I'm maybe going to a better place, the environment was quite harsh compared to where he was.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he was, again, this is another one of those things. He was in a safe place.
Because,
you know, like, how can I say this? You know, the story of Adam and Eve? You know, in Jewish culture, that's some people consider it not to be literal, but it's the story of being safe in your parents' house and then going out and finally getting, when you're older, you get more knowledge, and then you go, you make your own way in the world. That's what I felt this was. He was in a village where he was completely safe, but he always kind of wanted to go to the real world, and this was like him growing up. And again, he starts off as a young guy who's in love with an image of a woman, and as he gets older, matures, he kind of realizes. And so I think the whole part one was him growing up, getting ready for the challenge in part two.
I mean, some of the sort of like favorite scenes that I like, there was one in particular, and I think they had quite a few really good, powerful women in there. And that's what I love. Go on.
I was going to bring this up today anyway, because I have a lot of friends who they're females of Asian descent, but they don't watch Indian films. And I've grown up with a lot of watching like really fierce Indian characters, female ones, and this film kind of displays, there was about three or four that were amazing. I mean, even when you met Avantika, he was like a freedom fighter. The first scene when she throws that sword, you're like, holy. Then there was the woman who saved his life at the start, the queen mother. The queen mother. She was amazing. Then his own mom, when he meets her later on, she was really strong. But even the mother that raised him in the village, she was in control. All the men in the village.
Exactly.
And you know what I'm saying? And it really represented that. And that does represent a lot in Indian culture. There are these women in real life. They're never shown in the West.
The women in the story had the probably bigger roles than the other main characters, because they kind of drove the story. That's what I felt.
Obviously his choices drove the movie. But if you see, like, especially the Queen Mother, she had a husband who would have been king. She didn't even take that into account. She just sat on the throne. She's in charge and she's making the decision.
Now, just let me see if I can trip right. The husband, his husband was the one with the crippled hand. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. It. Yeah. Because that took me a while to kind of get through that. Okay. Yeah. So, right. So in terms of the scene that I was really talking about, which really made the Queen Mother stand out and said, boy, this woman's the boss, was when she had the, now I'm not sure if it was two babies or whether it was the one baby, they were just born, and she was walking through the sort of like the corridor. There's all these torches in the background, and it's slow-mo, obviously, because there's loads of slow-mos.
Yeah, there's loads of slow-mos.
You know, to make it even more dramatic, but she's walking through, she's got the babies in her hand. I think there's guards behind her, and you could tell that you know it was my way or the highway. This is how she wanted it to be, and I just thought that sequence was just magical. I loved it.
Oh, if you remember brilliant. It. And the other thing is, like, if you notice, this film kind of throws a lot of gender stereotypes out the window.
Yeah.
Because if you look at some of the male characters, particularly her husband with the crippled hand,
he
was so manipulative and cunning, and so was her son, I have to say,
at the end.
And even like the guys in the village and mm-hmm. everyone, they kind of always followed them, and the women were unrelenting.
Yeah.
Like, literally, it's like, you just can't mess with them because they are that direct kind of thing, which was really good to. That other people outside India have seen this kind of Indian character.
Yeah. But I mean, the actress that played the Queen Mum, the face, just the, you know, some of the you know, the facial expressions that she had and stuff like that. Oh yeah, you could tell that she just oozed power, you know, and no one could mess with her.
Yeah, and even the first thing that you see when she's got the arrow in her back with the baby.
Yeah.
She literally pulls the arrow out of her back and stabs some guy in the throat with it. That's your first kind of intro. First, you feel sorry for her. And then it's like, oh, no, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then even when she's dead, she's still got the baby, because she dies but drowns, isn't it? But she's still got her hand upright, mm-hmm. saving the baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
So for me, that was a really, really powerful scene. And also, I love the, I don't know, it's almost... like King Solomon. Have you heard of the King Solomon one where she chooses who's going to be the king?
He was chosen. So basically there was a battle, a war.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about that battle later on, because there's one thing I really despise in that battle, mm-hmm. but we'll come back to it. So the Queen Mother says, whoever brings me the head of the leader. So what he does is he loses Bahubali to his cousin, the queen's son. But the queen saw how Bahubali protected the people, mm-hmm. whereas the other guy just cared about the head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she chose Bahubali to be the next king.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, I mean, mm-hmm. I suppose a king is there to protect his people, right?
Yeah. And then obviously, so did you want to talk about the fight scene? Because I thought it was awesome. It was quite long as a fight scene. I mean, I don't know how long it was. It was probably over 45 minutes. I don't know. It seemed like it was quite long.
Yeah. I have one peeve I have with the fight scene, because they created the people that they were fighting, mm-hmm. like the whole mm-hmm. language.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they were in blackface.
Yeah, I know.
Which was obvious. And on top of them being in blackface, their language had a lot of like clicks in it, like African languages.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, oh my God, it's so shockingly bad from a Western point of view.
I listened to another podcast actually before I jumped onto this one, and they mentioned that, and they just said that that comes across as a little bit racist.
A little bit,
yeah.
Shocking. But the actual battle scene, it took a long time to shoot as well, but there were so many extras, and obviously they invented some funky battle
sequences. Yeah,
there was a chariot that had like a saw on it, which they were chopping heads off while running through the thing. And a lot of like battle tactics were used, like they had the oil infused cloth which they set alight and set stuff like that. But overall, it kind of, the whole battle sequence kind of showed the difference between the two princes.
Yeah.
Which I think it done marvelously, even to the point where they, one of them sacrifices a water buffalo for victory, and he refuses to Bahubali to protect it, and then he kind of puts a bit of his own blood for the luck and stuff like that.
Now you're right. I mean, we could talk about this film because, I mean, it was almost 3 hours. We could talk about this film and deep dive into every single, you know, sort of like scene, because there were so many, I don't know, so many great moments. Yeah,
there weren't any boring scenes.
No, there weren't. There weren't. I mean, I absolutely loved it. You know, as I said, I think for me, the words I'd use is epic, incredible, very, 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 very creative. Ah, you know, whoever sits down there and, you know, worked out some of these scenes and, you know, how they could, it was, it was incredible. So I think it's just a must watch for anyone. No matter what type of, first of all, if you like, I don't know, if you kind of like a love story, there's an element of a love story in this.
Yeah.
If you like, what's it called? If you like the dancing, and it's one thing as well, the soundtrack and the music that accompanied the film. Because obviously you've got it in subtitles. So as they were playing the music, I was looking at it and I was saying, oh, the music and the lyrics are relating to the actual scene itself.
Oh, yeah.
And the emotions of the scene. I was thinking, oh. So I felt, boy, I need to make more special attention in looking at the lyrics whilst I'm looking at the whole scene as well, which I found fantastic. I thought it was really good because it just kept the story going on instead of just having a dance sequence or a music sequence just for the hell of it.
Yeah,
it moved the story and gave you a little bit more context.
No, do you know what? I'm totally with you because I am not a massive fan of musicals. I love film. But I find the music and the songs take away from the story.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I do like this kind where they kind of almost integrate them with the story and it carries the story through.
Okay. So is there anything else that you want to say about the first film? Because all I want to do is talk about my reaction. I watched it and I told you that. I said, right, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to do the podcast. And we got to the end. And obviously, everyone that's listening to this podcast, there's spoiler warnings. We've obviously spoken about a lot about the film. So the end of episode, film one, Bahubali one, it's called The Beginning. That's the entire, that's the title of it. It's called The Beginning. And I got to the end because I was thinking, hold on, we've had nearly 3 hours of film, got to the end, and they said that the, is it Capata? Okay. He was the sort of like trusted, I don't know, soldier throughout all of generations. So he's one of the trusted soldiers of the film. Really great character. Absolutely loved him. Probably one of my favourite characters along with the Queen.
Yeah, I have to say that was one of my favorite characters as well. He was, when you find out in part two, he's an actual slave.
Yeah. Well, they said he was a slave. They said he was a slave in this one as well.
But he's like so dutiful towards the
master. Yeah.
Kind of, I don't want to spoil anything for the second movie, but it kind
of... Yeah, well, let's not say it. So at the end of the beginning... at the end of the film, The Beginning, Bahubali, The Beginning, he says that he kills his father.
Yes.
And I went, what? And it finished.
And the film just ends.
And I thought, because when you first told me about the film, I thought, okay, it's just a one-off.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, that's, you know, I can handle that and stuff like that. But when I found out there was Bahubali 2, it's not even Bahubali 2, it's called The Conclusion. I thought, I messaged you and said, right, I've got to watch the second one. Yeah, well, I know you said you were surprised, but I couldn't be left hanging, just leaving it like that. It was just, no way. And we couldn't have done the podcast without me doing the, I suppose we could have done the second one, but I thought, I'm going to watch the second. I couldn't wait.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so.
Because I know you, it's like, for you, it's really hard to sit through a three-hour film.
Yeah, it is.
Two of them?
I mean, I did watch it in, I mean, I think I watched them probably each of them in about maybe four or five shifts. So it was...
I think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. Mind you, I think I might have watched the fight scene all in one shift because I'm not sure. I can't remember. But brilliant film. I mean, you've got to watch it. And to be honest, once you watch the first one, you're going to watch the second one.
You
I can't see how you will not watch the second one. I mean, the marketing and the way they've done it is just fantastic. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I have to say, Sook, great film. Thanks for recommending it. It's not something that I would ever have watched, but I am so glad that I did.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it. So that's 2 for 2 now.
Yes, that's right. But well, we've got a bonus one because I wasn't expected to watch the second one.
Okay, then it's 3 for 3.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for this. We'll do a second episode of the Bahubali conclusion at another time.
Brilliant.